welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You be with the wise guys.
Right here in Silverton, Oregon, man. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, as always. But it is August 2nd, 2021.
22.
Oh, yeah, right.
You lost your COVID year.
I did. I'm so glad that's over.
It's not over.
Someone told me the other day, you know, when people were talking about vaccines and masks, he said, that's so 2020. I'm so done with it.
I was saying that in 2020.
I know.
Yeah. This is 2020. I'm so over it.
I never got started.
Wow, you know, August 2, I mean, it seems like a nice day. I mean, it seems like it should have been historically always a beautiful day, just like what it is today, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's sunny, kind of cool. We had a refreshing time. Temperatures are dropping now a little bit.
Yeah, we had a full week of 100 plus.
Yeah. And now when it gets down to like 89 degrees, I'm going, this is so
nice now.
I had to put on a sweatshirt this morning, you know? Wow. Hey, Aaron, what August 2 is this an important day for anything?
It's a very interesting day.
Yeah.
Today is this little thing of the country of Iraq invaded Kuwait back in 1990. I don't know if that turned out to be anything, but that's what happened today.
Does anyone remember 1990?
I think
I could ask probably some younger people, hey, what was 1990 about?
Careful now. If you ask the wrong person, like, I wasn't even born yet. So Desert Storm basically started out of that.
Yeah. Desert Storm would have started out of that. What else we got? I mean, that's not such a good thing.
No. In 1934, Hitler becomes dictator of Germany. So, yay! Oh, wait, no. We don't want to cheer that one.
That happened on August 2 as well.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not liking where this is going.
Okay, how about this one?
Oh, okay, all right.
1923.
Well, this has got to be good.
President Warren G. Harding dies before scandals break out.
You have to ask, what scandal?
I was going there. You got to do the Hebrew thing, like, what scandal?
Okay, so how about 18? We'll go back a little further. Okay. 1876.
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like that's an important signing of something.
Wild Bill Hickok is murdered.
Okay, so wait a minute. We got scandals, we have murder, we have Hitler, and we have the invasion. It's not a good day.
1985, sudden thunderstorm crashes plane.
Okay.
How about 1942?
Oh, no. Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
No, 1942.
That's 1492.
Okay, so what happened?
A man is murdered near L.A. Reservoir.
Okay, I'm not going to think about this anymore.
Okay, how about 1992? 1992?
Columbus sailed. No.
No. He's been dead a while.
Okay, right.
That was his third 15th cousin once removed.
Right, yeah, exactly. Jackie Joyner Kersee. Wins gold in the heptathlon.
Yay!
Again.
I still remember that woman. She was a mighty mouse.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
I mean, talk
about impressive.
Steel dies, it could break your head like a coconut.
Or at least outrun a coconut.
Yeah.
Man, that woman.
Yeah. So a lot of things today, actually.
She had those nails, you know. And
oh, that's right. That's right.
Like 5-inch nails.
And she'd run really fast and pass it and scratch her eyes
for aerodynamics.
Yeah.
Jeez. Wow.
Tuck's giving us the look, the nod, like, oh, you, come on, guys.
Get out of here.
Done it already.
Yeah, you know, so a lot of things for today in the history.
Yeah, we have Miss, is it Miss or Mrs.? Mrs. Nancy Pelosi.
Well, hey, are you assuming gender there?
I am. You know, it's a she, he? No.
I don't know what her pronouns are.
But she has landed in Taiwan, and China is threatening to take her out or to give us serious consequences for doing
that. Can we give them a bonus? I mean, maybe we'll just
stop. We're being listened to.
Oh, you mean I can't say kudos to China if they take out Nancy?
Yeah, we could.
Got to be facetious.
Well, hey, you know what? Actually, her husband might do that for her, at least take her out of office with his little dealings of, you know, questionable, illegal stock trading.
We have a messed up world.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, we just have a messed up world, which drew me to
a biblical text, Isaiah 2.
Isaiah 2.
Turn with me.
On August 2.
Yeah. On August 2, Isaiah 2 is what we're going to read. You know, and I think this is so cool.
We're going to go down to verse 12, you know, because Isaiah 1, you know, talks about, you know, Jerusalem becoming like Sodom and Gomorrah, but then it also, in Isaiah 2.
So great place to start, just like where we were starting with history.
Yeah. Isaiah 2 talks about God's universal reign, and there's a reckoning that's going to come about. And I thought, you know, we should always remind ourselves about what he's written about when he's going to rule. And so we're in Isaiah 2, verse 12. For the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning. Can you say hallelujah? Yeah, that wasn't in the text. That was just me. Against everyone who is proud and lofty.
Okay.
And against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased or put down. And it will be against all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks
of Bashan. Now, I love this because he's going to start this list. Isaiah starts this list of against who? So the Lord's going to come against some things, against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, against all the hills that are lifted up, against every high tower, against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarshish, against all the beautiful craft. And the pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of men will be abased. And Yahweh alone will be exalted in that day. But the idols will completely vanish, and men will go into caves of the rocks and into holes of the ground before the terror of Yah, and before the splendor of his majesty, when he arises to make the earth tremble. In that day, men will cast away to the moles and the bats, wow, their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, in order to go into the caverns of the rocks and the cliffs of the cliffs, and the clefts of the cliffs, before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty, when he arises to make the earth tremble. Stop regarding man, whose breath of life is in his nostrils. For why should man be esteemed?
Wow.
You're right. I cannot, you know, this, that, you know, when they use the term the mighty day of the Lord or the great day of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
I think this is probably why they're saying it, because when you read Isaiah 2, there's a lot of greatness in this. He humbles everything around him.
Right.
No one can even
breathe. I mean, it's just amazing to me.
So what does that have to do with anything? Well,
gives us some hope. Yeah.
Yes. You know, since, you know, we subscribe to him and his plan for us, it's nice to know that, okay, he's got the power to do stuff, to make things happen, which will, you know, save us. and protect us.
But if he's coming with that much power, I mean, and we'll come with that much power, I'm wondering, am I ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this?
Well, I don't.
Are you
I
ready
have to
for
be,
this?
Yes. I don't think that there's a question. It's like
you okay. Got to get ready.
It's like,
so how do you get ready?
Get with him.
How do you get with him? Tuck, you got any wisdom? How do you prepare yourself for such a great day as this? I mean, that to me is like, whoa, wait a minute.
Well, that's a good question, Ron. I'm perplexed by to go into the caves of the rocks and into the clefts of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to conquer the earth. You know, that's what the difference in our versions, whereas you said he trembles the mm-hmm. earth. And mine says conquers the earth.
Yeah.
And it's the same principle, I guess, because you're conquering it. I'm trembling,
oh, yeah.
worried about this, but it gives me a better idea of when he's conquering the earth. He's taking it out. And so these are believers that he's talking about,
mm-hmm.
people that are his children, that he's not going to. I don't know how to say it. He knows all things. He sees us. He sees us completely. And we cannot hide from that. And so even when you're doing your best, we fall short. And that's what Paul told us. We all fall short of the glory of God. And even when we're doing the utmost best that we can do, which is pretty darn good, we're still suffering because we do inherent bad things. I mean, given enough time, we will sink ourselves. You know, and if Yeshua didn't shorten the day, the elect would fail. You know,
we always think of bad sin, you know, things that will stop us from seeing the Lord or preparing for us. But we also have another example in our Torah study, Devarim. We're in the first couple chapters there. And remember when Israel didn't want to listen to the two spies, but they listened to the 10. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't go in, and it was regarded them as sin because they were filled with fear. So have you ever thought of fear as being a sin?
Yeah, because you're wasting his energy, your energy, and worried about something that you cannot affect. I mean, there is no point in worrying about anything if you can't directly affect that thing.
Yeah.
If you can, well, then go do something, whatever that something is, to try to affect a change. But if you can't change, you can't fix, you can't modify mm-hmm. anything, don't waste your energy by worrying about it.
Well, because
it's out of your control.
Because they feared they didn't go in.
Yeah.
And then they found out that the Lord got mad. Okay, kind of like what Isaiah here is maybe talking about. Things started to tremble, right?
Yep.
So then they say, we're sorry, and let's go ahead and go into the land, and we'll do our best. And the Lord says to them, well, you can do that, but I'm not with you, so you're going to get your rear end kicked.
Yeah.
I mean, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they do it anyways.
And how many of them died?
Mm-hmm. I know! But look at this. This is what's amazing to me. I'm going to be in Deuteronomy 1, and we're going to go to 45. Actually, 44. So you went in, and the Amorites who lived in the hill country came out against you and chased you as bees do and crushed you from Seir to Hamor. And now listen to this, what happened in 45. Then you returned, and you wept before me. But I did not listen to your voice
nor give ear to you.
Hmm.
I didn't listen to you. I didn't give any ear.
No.
But that's the kind of thing to where, what does that tell you when he makes that statement? That you're gibberish.
Yeah.
You are saying you're speaking foolishness. You're speaking lies.
Yes.
And these are decent people. These are good people. And they have failed.
That's
my telling lies.
Tuck,
yeah.
If Isaiah 2 comes around, the day of the Lord happens, how do we prepare? If it happened with just off of this,
well,
now,
You go to prayer. That's the only.
I'm not listening. I'm not listening.
Okay, so go to verse 43, and it'll tell you why he didn't want to listen. Okay? So, on verse 43, so I spoke to you, but you would not listen. So he's saying this happened before.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to you, you wouldn't listen. So how are we to prepare for the end of the days? Well, I think the first thing we should probably do is
pray.
Listen.
Oh, yes, listen. Yes, exactly.
Okay, but he said this. Instead, you rebelled against the command of the Lord and acted presumptuously and went up into the hill country.
Presumptuously. That doesn't sound good.
No. In English, it means disrespectful. It means being rash. It means being doing things on your own presumptuously. And so I'm thinking, okay, if the day of the Lord is coming,
mm-hmm.
and he's coming soon, and we believe that,
yeah.
how do we prepare? Because if you guys have told me before, right, that these things in the Old Testament are like prophetic of what's going to happen later.
Right.
It's not an Old Testament, it's an Older Testament.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Okay, so Older Testament. Oh, okay, and they're supposed to look forward about how things might happen later, like yeah. in our time.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, okay, how do I prepare myself for the day of the Lord? Well, I got to get rid of all my sin, but I'm almost thinking the first thing I should do is listen.
What? I'm not listening.
It always gets me.
He's speaking to us. If God's speaking to us, going, hey, Tuck, change your ways, man. Hey, Tuck, turn around. Tuck. Yo, Tuck.
I know.
I'm talking to you, man. And we don't listen. Then we act presumptuously. We do things on our own
accord.
Because
we think we have it down.
Yeah.
If we got the answer.
Yeah.
Because all I have to do is do this thing right here, and I'll just pray when I need him, and he'll be there. That's all I have to do.
Because he listens to me all the time.
Every time. All I do is just pray.
He loves me immensely.
Let me ask you guys
what?
Something. I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but
uh-oh.
We study the word in cyclical fashion.
Yes, we do.
We repeat it, stuff, going in circles, coming back to Devarim, or Genesis 1, going all the way through Devarim. Touching all the other prophets and the Brit Hadashah all the time. So we're looking at it, but we're going in a cyclical fashion.
Yeah.
Going around and around and around. Every year, tell me, do you not run into something new?
Oh, always.
So that tells me that we do not get everything. We see some things finitely for a time, but there's so much more.
Because he reveals, right?
Yeah. As you mature, he shows things to you greater and greater and greater. Well, that's so long as you remember that, you won't act presumptuously.
Remember what?
can you say that again?
So long as you remember that, you won't act presumptuously. You know, you We're remember that right, you Tom. Don't know things.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, we do that as humans ourselves. You know, when we're raising our children, how many times do we tell them, you know, do that. Yeah, go put your shoes away. Put your clothes away. You know, do this, right. Do that. Wash your hand. You know, because we got to do it over and over because that's how we as human beings learn is by the repetition.
Yeah.
And it builds on itself. And that's what Tuck was saying there with, as we're reading this, uh-huh. we get one thing and the next time around, like, oh, because we got that thing last time, I can get this other thing now too.
Yes. To teach us to create a habit. Once you create a habit, then you will redo it without thinking. You will do it. And
yeah, but
do
you
got to
create it first.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the key right. is that that's what he's showing us through his word, his repetition, because the Lord is very repetitious.
Yeah, he is.
He teaches the same things over and over and over again. Yeah. And you say, come on, Father, I know this stuff. Yeah. No, you don't. No, he continually proves that we don't know it.
You think you know it.
You think you know it.
Why don't you study it again?
Speaking of what
we think we know about Israel, okay, because everything seems to be related to this term Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the greater Israel.
Yeah, it's over there next to Russia, right?
Yeah, we talked about specific Israel. We talk about all this stuff. Well, this morning, you know, hang on tight because I want you to, you know, if you're listening, call someone to tune in.
And if you're not listening, wait, how does that work?
Stop.
Then wake up and start listening.
Get your friends to tune in. And we have a very important guest coming at the bottom of the hour here, Nathalie Blackman. And she is a journalist.
Blackham,
yes. She's a journalist there in Israel, and she's involved in broadcasting and television, and she's even written a book,
mm-hmm.
The Beauty of the Hebrew Language or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so she's going to be on with us and kind of bring us up to date on what's actually going on in the land of Israel, okay?
Is that a book about how to speak Hebrew or just describing the Hebrew with Hebrew?
It is talking about the letters because it's the subtitle is Hebrew letters and their meanings. And so yeah. It tells you how to, you know, each of the different characters, the letters are how they're weighted and whatnot.
Stories in themselves.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so that we could get a better, fuller understanding of what the words mean.
Yeah. Right. So I'm looking forward to her coming on with us. That'll be at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to get educated.
And her and her husband live over there in Israel?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're staying up a little bit later tonight just to interview with us. So this will be a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to be doing a shameless pitch here. You guys, come on. It's easy to support Hebrew Nation Radio. It really is. just go to the website. Go to the donate area. And, you know, rather than buying a coffee today for $5, send us $5. I'll take $3.
That's a cheap coffee.
Yeah. $3, $5. It all starts to add up. Do you know this? I mean, this is what's amazing.
I do, actually.
Okay, but we just found out the other day.
Tell me.
We are getting right now on our website, the amount of hits coming to our website, we just made a new, brand new, 1,000,002.
Wow.
Just this year or total?
No. Current within the last 2 months, we're getting 1,000,002 hits.
Wow.
We're starting to get.
How do you get a 0.2 hit?
Yeah.
1.2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, come on.
Roland has trouble talking.
I know, I do. I'm not techie. And on average, per month, we're getting almost between 38,000 to 40,000 people that are listening.
Wow.
But our gifting is like. Not doing well, you guys.
Peanuts, huh?
Which means you're using the service of all these wonderful teachers.
Why don't you give a buck when you're here?
I know. I mean, $3, you guys.
But it takes them 15 minutes to give a buck.
I know.
We need to be able to speed that process up.
And we really don't want a dollar donation because credit card charges or PayPal, we would actually lose money if you gave us a dollar.
Right.
So give us
$100. Give us a lot of money.
That'll really support this ministry. You know, we've been going since 2010. A lot of great teachers, a lot of free time, and everything's been provided for free. The teachers provide their time for free,
mm-hmm.
Giving you info. So, you know, hey, kick it in a little bit. I don't mind. I'll say it. Sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. Is that what?
Yeah. Well, you know, the ox does this threshing thing. You know, we're told, like in the New Testament, threshing out this grain. And if you're receiving spiritual grain, well, then give a little bit. You know, and it's not hard to do.
Well, the thing too is that it's commanded that you don't prevent the ox from eating while he's doing the threshing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Moo.
We need
we need some funds. All right, so hey, at the bottom of the hour, Nathalie Blackham is going to be on with us.
All from Israel.
Shadow of death into the light.
Hebrew Nation.
You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Welcome back to the Wise Guys Show. once again, the internet bug has bit us again, and so Ron's working on trying to get some stuff going here. So, Tuck, have you been to have you been to Israel?
Been twice.
You've been to what? Really? You went with Clayton, didn't you?
Yeah, I went 2001 and 2014. Both times with Mike Clayton.
Yeah. So what was your experience about just being in that land? I mean, I've had other friends who've gone and said it was, you know, just amazing to kind of stand there and realize the biblical history that you just read about. It's like, oh, this happened here.
It was a sensation that I had was that I was coming home. And that was a real odd feeling because, you know, that obviously was not my home.
Right.
Physically. But it felt secure. It felt like I should be there. And I know that that's not yet for the time because certain things have to happen before I can go there and live.
Uh-huh.
But it felt very secure and very comfortable. And it was easy to figure out their system in a relative term. Obviously, I didn't speak the language. And some words and some letters
mm-hmm.
and could understand signs and such. But...
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
There we go.
How are you?
How is Natalie Blackman all the way from Israel doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'm sorry for the little bit of delay that we had, but we're having a little bit of trouble connecting to you. But let's make sure that I'm saying your name correctly. It's Natalie, correct?
Mm, yes. Yes.
And the last name is Blackham?
That's it. Yeah.
Nice. Well, it's so good to have you, and you're all the way from Israel right now, correct? And we're airing
yes.
you. Where in Israel are you exactly?
I'm in the hills of Jerusalem.
All right. Oh, my word. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. It's my little garden Eden.
I love it. So tell us about you. I mean, this is the first time we've had you on Hebrew Nation Radio. You know, we know that you've written books. We know that you're a journalist, and we know that you're involved in television. But who are you specifically? I mean, what got you into ministry? What got you into this type of work?
It's always a long story. You know that.
Oh, no.
It's like a tapestry. I mean, originally I'm from France, so sorry for my accent, but sometimes Americans have trouble to understand me. I hope it will be okay.
Sounding good.
It's okay. Sometimes Americans have trouble understanding Americans, so, you know, we're used to it.
Okay. And so born in France, I was born again when I was 18. But interesting enough, my parents knew about the renewal, charismatic renewal. Do you remember in the 70s?
Yes.
And he came to France. And amazingly, my family was involved in that, which was amazing. My family, my background is like I'm from an aristocratic family, Catholic, from generation and generation. But I was very thirsty for the truth. And my parents, my dad died now, but my mom is still alive. She's lovely. We have conversation at least twice a week together. She's still Catholic, but she's like picking up things in the spirit, which is lovely. She knows. So I was Catholic after born again when I was 18. I've done some work with you through the mission. My heart has always been international. I went to live in England, and I discovered my husband over there.
Wow.
And we got married, and we had 3 children, and we went to adopt one in Africa, and we came back to England. Wow. And then at that time, I was bored in my spiritual life, and I was like, is that it, Lord? You know, I know all type of Christians, from Catholic to evangelical, passing by, you know, all the others and all of that. And I was thirsty for more. And my husband invited me to, but funny enough, I explain a bit of that in the book that I wrote, which is The Beauty of the Hebrew Language. And my husband invited me, and it was some Christian who was speaking about Israel. And suddenly, I suddenly realized that there is a church and there is Israel. And it's like two things different. And that the prophecy were given to the Jewish people. And I came back home and started to read my Bible in a different way. And that we can take some of the prophecies and we can appropriate it to us, but God wrote it to the Jewish people. And at that time, it was 1997. In England, it was almost not very much at all about all the Hebrew things. And I was like searching here and there. Now, I had also two important, like one was a dream, and the other one, I think it was like God downloading things in me. I don't think it was a dream, but he was showing me when I was reading the Exodus that when the Jewish people, the Hebrew, went through the Exodus, God said to me, the world will go so through an Exodus before the redemption. It will be like another redemption.
Wow.
And I didn't know really anything at that time, but it was like a download. So I knew when you and you that it was from God. Didn't understand very much, you know. I try to understand a bit more now.
Yes.
You know, you can always, you know, we can't understand everything. Okay, so we are just always learning every day.
So is that passion for you, did that get you to fall in love with the Hebrew language again? I mean, because...
Yes, not again. Is that
okay.
It was something totally new. It came a bit later on. First of all, it was like God was awakening me in my spirit, showing me the importance of Israel, because I didn't really know at that time. It's like a long story, my gosh. You know, when you see, like, God tried to awake you, and you go, you carry on sleeping. And he's like trying again, saying, hello. And he's like, am I disturbed? Oh, you are disturbing me. Because listen, I discovered that at that time when God was really waking me up in 1997, He showed me how many times he tried to wake me up and wake up the world. And during the charismatical renewal, one of you say, oh, yes, I remember that. I don't know if you remember. So at that time, I was like 13, 14 years old and was singing, Evenu Shalom Aleichem. We were singing Hebrew languages. God already was trying to wake us up.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we do?
Yeah, kept on sleeping.
Seriously, yeah. And
yeah.
You know, this is like the virgins. They were all asleep.
Wow.
Some awake and some were still asleep, but we were all asleep. No, sorry, we're all asleep. And after there was some who were wise and some who were foolish. But we were all asleep. Okay. Anyway, so this was the thing about, like, in 1997, the big thing was like, well, we are going to go through a redemption as the world and not just as the Jewish people. So this was a big thing. And the other thing, this was a dream now that I'm going to tell you, and it was very vivid. I think now I was in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem. I didn't know at the time. And I was among Jewish people, Orthodox Jews, in black and white, And they couldn't see me, but I could see them. And I was like the color of the rainbow. It took a long time for me to understand the significance of that. But anyway, so it was like that. And we were in a synagogue, and that synagogue didn't have seats. It had benches, which is interesting because the very old synagogue was with benches and not with chairs individual. They were like more like working as a team. So it's interesting. And I saw one, the one who is the closest to the Western Wall and the Holy of Holies, I think it's Yitzhak Ohel, the tent of Yitzhak. It was a Hungarian synagogue who was totally destroyed in 1948 and has been restored. And there is still some benches and not chairs. And so this man, the Orthodox men, were looking at the Torah, and they were with their fingers saying, Mashiach, and turning, Mashiach, and turning. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, I could see them, but they couldn't see me. And then God reminded me the passage in Romans 11 saying, when they will have the power, it will be like fireworks. It will be like so much revelation. It will like burst, and it won't be contained anymore when the Ruach HaKodesh will be on them. This was like in 1997.
Yes.
And so slowly, slowly, God was waking us up. And then we saw that in the news, a lot of things were said wrongly about Israel. It was always negative. And we were like, no, this is God's place. This is his promised land. And so we started to be involved in journalism because we just saw what was happening. And we started to, you know, lift up our voice. And then we went with my husband. He learned to blow the shofar, and we were invited in a Christian television in England because again it was like the new thing. We didn't know at that time. This television just started. This was in 2003, and they invited us, and so Martin blew the shofar. And he really did something to the man. And he said, you have to come back to speak. And so we came back to speak a few times. And after he said, you have a message. And he just threw us into the water. Go and swim. And he said, you come here. You have a message. You come here. I film you. And we broadcast the program. And we just started like that. He threw us in deep water. But seriously. But he could see the zeal that God gave in us.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that we had a message. And every time that we're learning things, we wanted to share it with the people.
Amen.
So I like this. I mean, you were given a vision, and Yah took over. He kind of put you in places. He threw you into the water and said, "Swim." I think that's
pretty good. Yes. Yes, exactly. No more sleeping.
There's a question that I have for you. I was looking up 50 wonderful things about Israel, and the number...
And that's it. There's only 50.
Yeah. and the number 7 was this, and I'm bringing this up because you've written a book, and the book is called The Beauty of the Hebrew Language, the Hebrew letters and their meanings. And when I looked up this thing about 50 things of Israel, number 7 was, and it goes like this. The official languages of Israel are Hebrew and Arabic. The Hebrew language was dead and had not been spoken for centuries until the Israelis revived it. Why is this important for the Hebrew language to become alive and not dead? Why is
Oh my gosh. This is so amazing. You know, when you say that, this was Eliezer Ben Yehuda, who revived the Hebrew language. It was always used, the Hebrew language, like when they were praying, but it was not a day-to-day language anymore. And he did it. You know, he's my hero, funny enough. And is him reading there is a book written about him, which is called The Tongue of the Prophet, from St. John's. St. John's, I can't remember exactly, the Tongue of the Prophet. Uh-huh. And I read it a few times to get more revelation from this book. And this Eliezer ben Yehuda was a modern prophet. Mm. When you read his story, I mean, go and read the story because it's just amazing. It's like a love story, a terrible story. He almost died a few times, and God just kept him. And the Hebrew language, I mean, is part of the kingdom.
Yes.
It's part of the kingdom. You have, I'm sure you know the passage in Zephaniah 3:9.
Yes.
This is the verse who really also spoke to us so much, and the book is really about this verse. I'm going to read it, and I worked on it because, like in this, I have the Israel Bible. It was done by Tuli Weiss. I like it because you have English and Hebrew, so yes. It helps to be able to read it. But the translation in English is very often very bad. And I know when you start to know the Hebrew, by the way, to be very frank, my Hebrew is very bad, speaking every day, okay? I use too much English, and this is terrible. Some people say, for how long have you been here? And I'm like, 11 years, 12 years. And like, you don't speak Hebrew properly? And I'm like, no, I don't. I understand some of it. Anyway, it's how it is. Okay. But like when you read it, I tell you, you have, it's like precious stones. Is like chisels, stones that God has given. This is the most amazing gift that God has given us, okay?
Yes.
And the Jewish people treasure it, and now is our turn to treasure it and to understand it and to, like, God is giving more and more revelation. So many people want to learn the Hebrew language. There is, it's never been like that before, so... First to the Jews, so they have the language again, and mm-hmm. now a lot of nations want to learn. So when you read, it's like, for then I will make the peoples pure of language. This is not I will make. When you read in Hebrew, is he will reverse, he will return, mm-hmm. okay? He will restore, which means that we lost it, and that he's giving it back again.
I love that. And I have an English version, which comes close. For then I will give to the peoples purified lips. This is, for those of you that are listening, this is found in Zephaniah chapter mm-hmm. 3, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
But your translation isn't just a purified lips. It's like a purified spoken word.
Yes, because it's like it's pure language.
Wow.
And like they say, pure of speech, which is the same. It's like it's a pure. Funny enough, is a tongue. They are going. He's going to give us a pure tongue again. And why is he doing that? For us to just be able to chat together? No. Yeah. So that they will invoke Hashem Adonai by name and then serve him by one accord.
Yes.
Okay. And that, again, the translation is very bad. I mean, it's very bad. No, it's very difficult to translate it because one accord in Hebrew is Shem Echad, which means one shoulder. So what? We will be one shoulder? How can we be one shoulder? This is a miracle. And I have a friend. I have a lot of Orthodox friends. I don't know, God gave us favor to be with them and to learn from them. And she gave me a book. Well, this was about, it might be about 2 years ago now, because I was like, okay, I want more, I want to understand more. And she gave me this book, and I can't remember the name. I have it written somewhere. And at the end of the book, they were speaking about Echad. They were speaking about Zephaniah 3:9. And like, what? Somebody is speaking about Zephaniah 3:9. This is very interesting. And so listen to that, because it's just, it's like mind-blowing. But this is what we are going through now. Uh-huh. We are going with all that's happening in the world since 2 years. We are going through, is the pangs of redemption, is the pangs of Mashiach coming. And we are not the same. We have been transformed. It's difficult because it's like pushing like the pang of deliverance of when you're having a baby. Uh-huh. And it's going quicker and quicker and it's painful, but the baby is coming. And the baby is like this new redemption that is coming, where again the Hebrew language will be our language. Now, I mean, there is some, we can speak like for 10 hours easily about these things.
Yes.
The Hebrew language, we will use it to serve God, but God also gave us the 70 languages, and it's Him who created them. Now, let me read, because I just saw in this Hebrew Bible, the Israel Bible, there is some commentary of Jewish people, and I'm going just to read it because it's very interesting, because it's all about what we're speaking. So it says, pure of speech, the prophet describes how in the future, which is soon, all the nations of the world will have pure speech, Safa Brucha, and Safa is the lips. Ibn Ezra, among other commentators, maintained that the pure speech that Zephaniah promised is the language of Hebrew. Yeah, we know that. By the way, God gave me this passage, and it's not written Hebrew there. And but I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, it's the Hebrew language, because it was like, I was so ignorant. I didn't know very much at all. So I phoned one of my friends who is Messianic, and I said, listen, Vicky, I'm reading that, and I feel that God is saying to me that it's the Hebrew language, but I don't want to be crazy. I don't want that is my way of, you know, is me, or is it really the Holy Spirit speaking to me? And she said, oh, my dear, she is Jewish. She said, oh, my dear, of course. And I said, my dear, of course, for you. But me, I'm coming from knowing nothing, be ignorant. And she said, yeah, for the Jewish people, this is like, yes, of course. And it's like, yes, but it wasn't of course for me. So thank you very much. And now, yes, it's of course. But at that time, I didn't know at all. Okay, so we carry on. And that, in future time, the whole world will begin to learn Hebrew, which is what's happening. The language of creation. Exactly.
Yes, the language of creation.
It is. And so from Genesis 1 to Genesis 11, what did they speak? Only Hebrew. Is at the Tower of Babel that they started to babble, and yes, they lost Hebrew. It was only Shem who kept the Hebrew language. And then the Jewish people, you know, kept the Hebrew language. And us, but at that time, again, this is just amazing. This, when you dig in the word, I tell you, you spend like hours, but there is like so much, it's like a DNA that you're unraveling.
Yes.
And you start to understand, and this and this and that. Oh, and because of this, you know, it's just like amazing. And so at the Tower of Babel, they wanted to be one. But against God, God said, you can't be against me. Like, no way. So I have to take the speech out of you. Can't be, they were united. So it took the unity out of them and give them different languages. But God created these languages. Very interesting. He created these languages. So it's not negative. One day when one person say, well, you are speaking always about the Hebrew language, and what about the other languages? Another time I say, well, I don't
know. Kathy, hold on. We're going to bring you right back. Hang on for just a moment. Hang on.
Good morning and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys, and we are blessed to have a wonderfully wise woman with us. Her name is Nathalie Blackham, and she comes from IsraelFirst.org. You can find her on IsraelFirst.org. She's a journalist. She's a nurse. She is a well-researched person in the language of Hebrew and has even written the book, The Beauty of the Hebrew Language, the Hebrew Letters and Their Meanings. And just before the break, we were talking with her in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 9. And she was relating to us the correlations of the Hebrew language from the book of Genesis, or Bereshit, as we call it, and also to the promise that's happening in Zephaniah 3, 9. So we just want to welcome you back. Nathalie, thank you for taking time out of your day to be with us and for sharing your words of wisdom. We just love having you with us. So thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Isn't it amazing that we can connect this way? It's just great. So we carry on, isn't it? Zephaniah 3:9, chapter 3, verse 9. And so this is like a commentary in the Bible that I have, which is called the Israel Bible, and a commentary from Jewish people. And there is so much treasure. So let us carry on. Uh-huh. So the biblical Hebrew is known as Lashon HaKodesh, okay? Yes. The holy language. And the Maharal in Deuteronomy 1:23 writes that each language... Listen to that, because it's beautiful. Each language reflects the essence of the nation who speaks it. I love that, because you see, so the Hebrew language is very important, and it's like from the holy people, the Jewish people. Uh-huh. And the 70 other languages were given by God too. And so every one of us, we have something, a reflection of God in our different languages and our different communities and nations. And it's so beautiful because we are coming with this redemption to a unity that God is one and we will be one with Him. But one doesn't mean uniformity. We are keeping who we are. We have to blossom it in who we are. We are all so unique, and we have to keep that. God wants us to be different. Every tree is different. Every flower is different, and God loves that. But we will be still in unity, and we will go back. This Zephaniah 3:9. You are going to see is that part of the cosmic, I would say, work that God is doing. So wow. Let us carry on. Yeah. It's just amazing. Since the Jewish people are a holy people, they speak the holy language. And since it is holy and pure, it contains no vulgar and shameful words. Yeah, I heard that already before. Uh-huh. The Ramban in Exodus 13
adds where?
That Exodus...
Okay.
3:13.
Got it.
Yeah. He adds that what makes this language holy is that, listen to that, it is the language with which God speaks with his prophets and his nation. This verse is another incredible example of an obscure prophecy that has come to prominent fruition in our generation, where millions of people all over the world now, both Jews and Gentiles, are learning the Hebrew language in order to speak the Lashon HaKodesh, which is just like just amazing.
Explain something to me, because on Exodus 30:13, mm-hmm. that's talking about the giving of the half shekel. How is that related to the language?
Oh, 30, okay, let me see, because I'm not in it. I was just reading what they were saying about like the commentary of Rabban.
Okay,
let me look. 30 and 13. This is what everyone who is entered in the record will pay. Half a shekel. Oh, okay. I guess, you know, because they look very deep into the verse, I guess that is because the half shekel is like everybody is the same. And so he's speaking, that he's saying is the language that God speaks with his prophet in his nation. Oh, okay. I don't know exactly the connection, but I know that the half shekel is very important, because who you were, everybody has to give half shekel. Very poor, very rich. They were all unique, but like you could see this unity, but they were all different. So yes. I don't know if it's that that is speaking up about that. You see, God is speaking to us. I mean, we were just speaking about unity.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it's connected with the thing.
I actually see a lot of connection, because it is our contribution. So with the diversity of creation, with the diversity mm-hmm. that's given to every person,
mm-hmm.
every person needs to contribute towards the kingdom.
Yes, and yes, so exactly.
That's the contribution. So
yes.
The half shekel is merely an action, but the result is I contributed to the kingdom.
Yeah. That's it. And we are all, you know, this is like so important, because this is what we need to get in our conscience. In even like in the consciousness of the universe and of us, you see, like, it's interesting, because this virus that came all around is all around. It's like bringing a sort of unification that, you know, there is two sides.
Yeah, I think whenever there's a problem, we have a choice: either divide or unite. And
Yes. And
many times when we see a catastrophe, it will unite people and bring them together, or it makes them more angry with each other. Which I kind of want to understand from you, because when I look at Israel First, which is what you do, and you also have a thread. It goes on about all the news that's going on in Israel, and a lot of it's not very good. I mean, it's not very good.
No, it's not. We have a lot of hope, but what's happening, I think Israel is the worst, you know. I really think that we have the worst where we are, because it's the center of the world.
Okay.
And is all part of, like, the end days, because, like, when Yeshua came, it was the beginning of the end days. This is very important, so to understand, like, we have, like, 6 millennium for humanity, 2 millenniums where, I don't know if you spoke already about that, but 2 millennium was chaos, which was from Adam to Abraham. Then you had the time of the Torah from Abraham to Yeshua, we say. And then you have the 2 millennium of the end days, the beginning with Mashiach, Yeshua, and like we are in the end now of the end days. And thank you, Lord, very soon we'll arrive in the 7 millennium, which is like Shabbat, which is the redemption of the world, and we will be united. And it will be, it's because of that we are going through this terrible exodus, which is the world exodus going into redemption. I want to go, if it's okay with you, I want to go back to Echad. because yes. Echad is very important. And so, because there is, you know, sometimes we, I mean, for me, it was like, oh, no, don't speak about evolution because evolution is not from God. And yes, we were made human, and we haven't, we weren't monkeys. I agree with that. But God is still making us, like, we go through a maturation. We are getting mature as humanity, and he has, like you can see, 2,000 of chaos, 2,000 of Torah, 2,000 of end of days, and now we are going into the millennium. Like, we are going somewhere, okay? Mm. We are going somewhere. There is like hope. I mean, we're going to much better time that we are now. But this Echad is like to show you how God proceeds. And, oh, my gosh, I had some very good, you know, I've learned a lot of things with my Orthodox friends because they have a different way of thinking. Uh-huh. And it's like adding to my thinking. And I start to understand the New Testament in a totally different way and very rich and very Jesus was, Yeshua, was a Jew. And I mean, he was more than that. He was the Son of God. His Torah, you know, I mean, he's yes. all of that. It's just amazing how he came, like, as a human being with parents who had to give an offering of two turtle dove. Mm-hmm. He was the Son of God. Mm-hmm. He was the creator with God, with his Father. And he come here and his earthly parents has to give only two turtle dove because they are poor. For me, this just blew my mind. Anyway, this was a little thing passing by. Let's go back to, yes?
But I see why, I'm starting to get a glimpse as to why you're passionate about Israel news. Because mm-hmm. from what you're telling me is that here's a holy people, here's a holy language, here are the promises within this land. Therefore, we need to be paying attention to even the political uprises and even the ups and downs of what's in Israel, because that's a warning, that's a banner. I mean, this is...
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's to show, like, I mean, right now, if you want to speak about the government, there is no government, really. It's like puppet government, because when Mashiach is going to come, they will have no government. It will be his government. Wow. So everything has to fall down. And it is, if you look at the, you know, it's obvious from here. It's wow. chaos. And they're saying, well, we're doing, this and we're doing that. But like deeply, they are undoing so many things.
Wow. And that's the same thing that's happening here in the U.S. It's an undoing of
exactly.
freedoms. It's an undoing of the yeah. marketplace. It's an undoing of
same
rights.
In France, and, same yeah. in France. Same in France. Same in Germany. Same because we are it's like, you know, like a cocoon, like the caterpillar. We're going to be a butterfly, but it's like we're passing by this time of hiding and changing transformation, and the seed has to die. Mm. The seed has to die, and the seed has to die for the flower to come.
Oh wow!
And the caterpillar has to die. I mean, like such a transformation that is going to be transformed into a butterfly. Mm. They don't look the same. They
That's
don't
beautiful.
Look the same.
Well, it's death,
look the same.
Death is an integral part of life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard
mm-hmm.
thing for us to conceive of sometimes, but it has to be.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love that picture, Natalie. That's, you know, because to make sense of it all, that does make sense. And it brings us back to the understanding, too, that to come alive again, we have to come back alive to this language that was given
yes.
to us by
yes.
us.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. I tell you, it's like we are in this cocoon right now, and there is a very, very big transformation, and we have to see, we have to hope. We have hope that we are turning into a butterfly as humanity. And that the caterpillar had to eat. The caterpillar had his reason to be. But this is not the goal. The goal is to be a butterfly. But the caterpillar had to be before to be a butterfly. So yeah. Everything and every day that we are living has to be before being a butterfly.
Yeah. And Torah tells us there's life in his command. So when his new kingdom is set up, we have mm-hmm. life. We actually are free again.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
We are living momentous time.
Wow.
And we have to keep focusing on him. And again, this Hebrew language is such a help. And God has prepared now. When you go in Genesis, I love Genesis. Genesis is just amazing. When you go in Genesis, you know you have the word Echad in Genesis 1:5 when it's like Yom Echad, the first day when God created, and it's like Yom Echad. It should be Yom Rishon, like we say, like now, when we say the days of the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and all of that, is mm-hmm. Yom Rishon is Sunday, the first day. But in the Bible, in the Torah, is written Yom Echad, okay? Because God was creating time for us. It doesn't need to be in time, but he was preparing time for us. So he prepared, first of all, time for us. Then you go in Genesis 1:9, and is Makom, Makom Echad, again Echad. And Makom, this is a place that he was preparing. And you read, wait, I can't remember, what did I say, 1:19? 1:19. Did I say that? No, sorry. 1:9. Let the water below the sky be gathered into one area, then the dry land may appear, and it was so. So it's like there was separation, okay? Uh-huh. And there was separation, and there is written Makom Echad. So God is preparing a place for us. Now listen to that. God is holy. And he lives in heaven, Shamaim, which is very interesting because Shamaim, there is water there. It means that Sham is there and Maim is water. There is water there. Shamaim is the heavens. And God is holy there. But you know what? He's preparing a place here on earth because he wants to bring his holiness on earth. This is what he wants to do. You read like... The prayer of Yeshua, our Father in heaven, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
It's just there. He wants to bring his holiness with us because this place is not holy and he wants to make it holy. Uh-huh. And who is he? He's using us? He's using us. He wants to use us. He's like, wow, us? He said, yes, you are so precious. And we don't know how precious we are. We are like, you know, like there is a very famous saying that one person is a world in itself. It is the truth. We are a world in ourselves. So everyone is so precious. It's just amazing. So you have this time, Yom Echad, then this Makom Echad. And then you have in Genesis 2:24, you have Basar Echad. Is when Adam and Eve are together, okay? Let me turn. It's 2:24.
Natalie, just take a moment here because you've said some things that are just huge. The Echad and being holy, and we know that the Holy One wanted to walk with Adam and Eve. He also wanted to tabernacle with Israel. And here these time elements don't belong to him, but there's a holiness or there's a oneness. Is it any wonder that Hasatan, Satan, the adversary, is so coming against these things that you're bringing up?
Yes, he's so jealous of us.
Oh, my
he's
word.
He's so jealous of us. He said, why did you make them so close to you? Why do you, why is man Why is man so close to you? Why is man made in the image of God? He hates that.
Yeah.
He hates us. And he hates even more the Jews because they were close to God.
Yeah.
Like one day I had a revelation, like visceral hate.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh.
It's no wonder. Natalie, we have about 3 more minutes before there's a break. Tell us in these three minutes, when you're going through this and the average person that probably isn't reading scripture a lot, what's the best words of advice that you can give them? I mean, maybe they're brand new. They're just babies in the word of Yah. What can you say?
It's every day a little, every day a little. And it's like every day a little. And you start with what you know. And you question what you know. And you have to love the word of God. And it's leading you. You know, it takes, like you see the Jewish people, what do? They are in the Torah. Oh. They have, and they learn things themselves directly, and they remember what Rabbi so-and-so said and what Rabbi so-and-so, because they had revelation, and they are putting it all together. Now, I don't say that is all, you know, all kosher, I would say. I don't know. There, you have to discern, but there is, like, God is leading you slowly, slowly. But, like, now that I discovered this Hebrew language, it's like, you know, when you eat a good meal, the next day you want to eat again something good.
Yeah.
And the day, isn't it? And the day after. And you don't eat it in one day. It's like a bit now and a bit after. And again, and it's the same with it's manna. It's the bread. It's our bread. And it's, you eat a bit today and you eat a bit more today, tomorrow. And then, I'm so happy to be 61 because when I was younger, I didn't know so much. And it's like, it takes time and it takes, like, you have to learn and you have to take the time. And then, you know, a bit more. And suddenly you see the precious things and it's like, I want a bit more because this was a good meal. And now I want a bit more. And that's how it is. It's like, yeah.
I love your pictures. Oh, my word. You know, so we have the cocoon and we have the butterfly coming up life. And we have good meals. And, yes, I agree. I had one of those last night and I want to eat it again.
Yes, and this patience in waiting and coming before the Lord and seeing his holiness.
Yes.
Those are wonderful pictures that you're sharing with us, Natalie. I'm going to call you up again later, and I'm going to talk to you about being a regular person on Hebrew Nation. Can you ever think about that for us or pray about that?
Sure, because, the funny thing this week, I was speaking with the Lord and saying, hey, you know, I know quite a lot of things. And it's more difficult because of all the news and all of that. It's like we are funny journalists now because you can't say all the lies that they are saying. And so it's becoming funny. But that the word of God is like burning in me. Mm. And we can pray about it.
Yeah, please do. Please do. So how do people reach out to you? It's IsraelFirst.org.
Mm-hmm. And they can go, there is like an email, it's like info@israelfirst.org.
Okay.
And they can, you know, connect with me and my husband, Martin, and they can see the book, you know, in the website. Mm-hmm. I can send it easily. We don't have any more. My son had loads of books for a while, but now haven't been back in America. So we don't have books, but it's okay. We can just send it from here. It's not a problem.
Thank you so much, Natalie. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Natalie, are you still there?
Hello, Hebrew Nation. Hurry.
Hey, 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 hey!
We be back.
Israel! Israel!
See, that was kind of interesting. Here she is, speaking English to us, you know, Americans who can barely even speak our own right. American version of English. Married to a Brit.
Right.
She's from France,
yes,
and she speaks Hebrew.
Yes.
talk about a combination of accents.
Yes. I was doing my best. How about you?
I was getting it.
Were you?
Yeah.
I was loving it, you know, but if she ever started to talk fast, then I would lose it.
Yeah.
You know, but great stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I love the pictures that she would give us, you know, about the holiness and about life and about meals, you know, because us guys, I mean, I can relate to a good meal.
Yeah, right. I can't fix a good meal. Well, there's a couple that I can fix. But, you know, yeah.
Well, that whole idea, I mean, immerse yourself in the Word, you know, and many times we have overlooked Torah so often. I remember when I was a Christian teacher, I mean, working within the Christian realms we hardly ever cracked the Old Testament. It was constantly the Brit Hadashah or the Renewed Covenant,
right,
or the New Testament, as some people call it. And I lost so much. I was always floundering, wondering, this has to have more.
Mm-hmm.
What, this seems like there's holes. And when I got to know the Hebrew people and the Hebrew roots and Messianics, all of a sudden the Bible just... Boom.
Well, I mean, you can kind of think about it this way. You've been looking for houses to buy.
Yeah.
You know, last few years you've kind of been doing that, looking and searching and stuff.
Don't remind me.
And so what is it that we do? We go and we look, we drive by it and we go, hey, that looks like a nice house.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way... I like the siding. I like the upstairs and the back room that was so nice, and the kitchen, and so we could fix the meals, you know.
Yeah.
But do we really go and look at the foundation?
Yeah, right.
You know.
I remember we had a guest on about a half year ago. Remember Tad?
It could have been longer than that even, too. Yeah.
Tad was a foundational expert, mm-hmm. and he drove that home to us.
Yeah.
How important it is to have that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Torah is that foundation.
Yeah. Well, you went look at the house.
Oh, I did.
Where that was an issue.
Oh, it was a big issue.
I remember that one.
Yeah, and I remember Tad telling me, stay clear.
Yeah, run from that one.
Run, Forrest, run. You know, but what about the...
Run, Roland, run.
You know, we've read Isaiah, we've read some things in Exodus. You know,
she was talking about the need for these governments to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
In order to bring in the real government.
Well, right? That's Yeshua's. It's not any of our government.
That's
not
what I'm talking
government.
About.
Yeah.
Man's governments have to collapse to bring in the real government.
Including
which is,
Israel.
Yes.
So my question on that would be the timing. Does the earthly governments collapse and then he return? Or because he returns, they collapse, you know, kind of.
You know, all I know is this. If I were to look at Israel and the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
what a blessing those governments have achieved in a relatively short time. I mean, you think about America and its 200 short lifespan.
Mm-hmm. In relative to the year you're talking.
And
or the
compare
earth
that
you're
to any other government in the U.S., mm-hmm. I mean, in the world, and we're like, off the charts.
Yeah.
Off the charts.
Well, that's because we had Yahweh's backing.
Exactly. And the same thing
had.
When you look at Israel. Yeah. I mean, look at Israel. I want to bring some of these things up because we know about the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you know about Israel?
It's over there.
Yeah.
It's next to Russia. You can see it from the back door.
But think about this. Here's some interesting facts. Israel has a 100 billion
with a B.
A 100 billion economy that's larger than all their neighbors combined.
Which is Iraq, Iran,
Syria,
Saudi Arabia, Jordan.
Wait, bigger than Saudi Arabia,
yes,
with all of their oil?
Yes. So grasp this, and they only officially, quote, started after they returned to the land
in back in 1947.
Yeah. 47, you have the movement.
Oh, 47,
and
right.
In the 50s, you have things going. They have the highest standard of living in all of Middle East. They have the highest per capita home computer ownership than everyone else. It has the highest concentration of high-tech and startup companies, over 3,000 in the world outside of the U.S. So here you got the U.S.,
mm-hmm,
and then we got the Israel, which is the highest concentration of high-tech concentrated companies.
Well, they're such a large, huge, massive country that you're going to have that.
It's just not a so stamp.
Much. It's a teeny little piece of
oh, that's, real that's estate. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Israel is the world leader in the invention of new technologies. They came across with the cell phone. They are the ones, not Al Gore. They're the ones that came with the cell phone, the voicemail technology, the first antivirus software, the Pentium MMX chip technology, and the Windows NT operating systems, all from
really
Israel.
Did Bill Gates didn't do that?
No.
Shoot.
Israel's total workforce, 24% hold college degrees and 12% hold advanced degrees.
Wow.
It's the world's largest wholesale diamond center. Unbelievable. And get all this, it's the largest immigrant absorbing country in the world. People from more than 100 countries and from 5 continents all live there.
Wow. That's impressive.
Did you know this stuff? All the citizens in Israel, Jews and Arabs and Israelis, all enjoy full political rights. Women also enjoy full rights. I didn't know some of this stuff.
Wow.
Everyone learns how to be in the military.
Well, that's the half shekel thing. You know, it's the...
Everybody
it's not
gives.
It's not that you're only worth a half shekel, but to redeem you, you only need a half shekel, mm-hmm, regardless of your standing in life. It's a half shekel for everybody.
Guess what their most...
Everybody gives equally, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Guess what their most favorite dancing is?
Break dancing.
No.
Line dancing.
No. Well, close. It's folk dancing.
Dancing with your folks. Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, especially the traditional folk dance called the hora. Okay? It's the most environmentally clean nation on earth. So is the U.S.,
yeah, we're terrible.
Unbelievable.
We have to get off of all fossil fuels. We could ship it to China, but we need to get off all fossil fuels.
Right. We're the only ones doing it clean.
Yeah.
Us in Israel.
Yeah.
So why am I bringing this up? And compare this to what Nathalie was bringing to us and about collapses.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say there is significance in that country.
Yahweh has to humble us all.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening right now in the U.S. and Israel and in Britain, we have this total collapse of all these wonderful things that we're blessed with. And now they're just like blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
Blowing up. People aren't having full rights anymore.
Yeah.
You're being forced to take those vaccines. And if you don't speak the proper current language that's popular, you're shut down, man. You're taking off.
Try. Just try. Right. That's all I'm saying.
What do we do? We started this program out today. What are we going to do to get ready for the coming of the Lord for the last days? Well, we already found out from Nathalie we're in the last days. Mm-hmm. That started with Messiah. But let's talk about the great day. How do we prepare for that great day? That's what brings us back to that full circle. Nathalie had talked about the need of the holy language coming
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm.
And Scriptures also this morning was talking for us to listen.
Yeah.
Shut up and listen. What do you guys think? What's going through your brains after listening to her and comparing to some of our first questions that we were asking?
Well, kind of right along the same lines of the journey I have been on in my own head. And so this is just another one of those examples of, yeah, we need to be checking ourselves. You know, that's that whole say, so the whole saying, you know, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, we really need to be doing that and questioning everything. She even mentioned it as well. You know, was listening to Glenn Beck, this is years ago, and he said this. He says, you know, question everything, even the existence of God. Hmm. Because when you start questioning it, if you decide, well, yeah, that's a real thing for me.
Yeah.
You now know because you've investigated it, and now you know why you believe that thing.
I'm doing that right now or a few things.
Yeah. And so then we go through and we're strengthened in our position. And sometimes we're like, well, maybe I'm not actually there. I'm over here. I believe this over here. I just kind of follow the world in this direction. I need to correct myself and get over into this position.
You know, I going along with that thought, one of the reasons why I brought up U.S. and Israel is that the world has relied on U.S. and Israel to be as big as they are.
Yes.
Imagine the world without the U.S. or Israel.
Oh, it'd be a lot more chaos.
Oh, my word. Yeah, right?
It'd be in shambles.
It'd be in shambles. So as we collapse, what do we learn? We learn that we can't put our faith in kingdoms of this earth.
Yeah.
And again, that gives us the picture of Israel leaving Egypt back in Exodus. Egypt was the kingdom, and Yahweh collapsed it.
Yep.
Look at this verse again in Isaiah 2. Okay, so let's just remind ourselves about what he's going to do. He tells us, starting in verse 14, that he will remove all these leaders against all the lofty mountains, against all the hills that are lifted up, against every high tower, against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarsus, those are the merchants, and against all the beautiful craft, and the pride of man will be humbled. That would have to include the U.S. and Israel.
Yeah.
Because those are awesome places.
That's part of all. I mean.
Right? And the loftiness of men will be abased. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. So I'm thinking that if these can be taken down, then we would have to recognize that Yahweh is king.
Right.
That's the point, I think. We'd have to wake up and go, whoa.
I mean, just like the example of David and Goliath.
Right.
You know, the only way David could defeat this, you know, Goliath of a man, you know, is with the power of Yahweh to take him out. And so you could see, you know, Yahweh used that moment to say, no, we need you all need to be humble like this little boy over here. You see what happens when you turn to me?
Right. Quit relying on your what you think is strength.
Mm-hmm.
And let me show you what strength really is like.
Yeah. I mean, because if you remember Saul, you'd say, hey, put all this armor. If you're going to go up against him, put all my armor on you. We don't have anything your size, so put mine on. And it's like he couldn't do it. And that was what they were relying on, was their best armor and their skill. He's like, no, this little boy went out there with a little stinking rock.
So what's the great thing that happens when we do humble and realize who he is? I mean, what actually happens for us? What happens to this earth?
He infuses his energy into us. Because that's the only way we can function is with his help. He will tell us what to do. He will show us what to speak. He will show us what to do. And it's because we humbled ourselves and know that we cannot figure it out. We will go at his leading. And that's what humility is not trusting in self, but trusting in a greater power. And this greater power is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
So let's think of words that describe that.
Awesome.
Awesome. Renewed.
Yep.
Life. Yep. Restoration.
Redemption.
Redemption. Yep. And as Nathalie said, we become a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
We have cool. good meals.
Yeah, that's a great example, the cocoon turning into a butterfly. I mean, we can all think of how pretty a butterfly is, mm-hmm. but how fragile they are.
Oh, my that's true.
And
yeah.
That's what we are. Looking at it from Yahweh's perspective, mm-hmm. we are a butterfly. We're unique. We're very pretty. We're very functional. But we're very small.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't not hold on to that and we get to think of ourselves as big
mm-hmm.
and something to be dealt with,
mm-hmm.
that's when we lose out.
But how does he find favor in us? I mean, is it just because we're pretty to look at from his point of view? Or is there something greater
to this story? Why did he choose Israel? Because they were the smallest.
Correct. So
that's what he told us.
So he could be great.
So he could be great. I don't think it's us being small makes him have the ability to be great, but that's the greatest example we can have of our difference.
But great in what way? I mean,
great in all ways.
My original English perception was me small, me insignificant, God's going to be great. But every time God infused himself with Israel, they actually became great.
Greater.
See,
okay.
They were not great. They were greater.
Well, Solomon, he had the largest kingdom on the face of the planet.
Sure enough.
That was
sure
great.
Enough, and he was the richest.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. But it's a
David's mighty men were great.
Yes, they were.
Only as long as they humbled themselves,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. You know?
See, I in another church, we were in a little worship group thing, and I was doing a thing. I brought this picture of Earth that was taken from one of the Apollo flights as they came around from the moon,
yeah.
and you see the moon in the corner and Earth all the way out there in the very distance.
And you can tell it was Earth with the continents and the
seas. Right, yeah. you know, and then there's all this black space around, and this one guy's. About my dad's age, so you know, several years older than me, he was like, that doesn't do anything positive for me because it makes me feel small and insignificant. And I'm like, yes, but think about this. The point is, we are so tiny, so small on this one little rock in this vast space,
mm-hmm.
we can't even see from 250,000 miles away. The closest thing to us, the moon.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even hardly see our state, let alone our house or our person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, Yahweh would have come and died and done all that he did for you, one individual on this insignificant planet, on the little insignificant person on this insignificant planet. That's how special each one of us is. Yeah.
So you're telling us we have significance.
Yeah.
To him, yeah. It's like... You as a parent, however, whether you've raised one kid or five kids or 10 kids,
mm-hmm.
you raise a child and you brought them into the world and you teach them how to live in this world. And that is such a treasure, such a joy. And multiply that by 15 billion
right.
plus so much more, that's Yahweh. I mean, he has brought so many people into existence, and he loves them, and he loves to experience life through them.
Mm.
And until we look at him from that perspective, and it's vast. I mean, criminally, I mean, to look at my smallness doesn't diminish me. It greatens him. I mean, we have trouble enough just running our own life.
Yeah.
Compound that by 15 billion plus the universe.
But that lines up with what Nathalie was talking about in Bereshit in Genesis. That rabbinical way of looking at, or the orthodox way of looking at that term one, is a kahal.
Yeah, it's a unified.
Okay? It's a unified thing.
So even on that first verse that she was saying, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening and morning, and there was a kahal.
Right.
There's oneness.
Yeah.
So oneness is only found in him. Because in Genesis, it's, he's the one who created the heavens and earth. He's the one who spoke light into darkness.
Right.
He's the one who bring about Akkad, oneness. God, that's cool.
Yeah. And it's all about the perspective, you know. Like my friend was saying, we're just so insignificant. I'm so tiny. And it's like,
but we're going to be made one with him.
Right. And see, and that's kind of our pattern of, we stop at the negative point of that. And it's like, but it's not a negative point when you look at the full picture, the full reality of, but Yahweh still wants us, that little insignificant thing. So suddenly it flips that on its head, and we are.
Well, and that's the whole thing about that, is that all the things that we're describing, he wants relationship with us.
He wants a God with us.
Yeah. He wants to share his existence, his life with us. And we cannot even, I know I can't, even imagine of how vast he is, what makes up the character of Yah. It's too huge. It's beyond me.
So then, if the day of the Lord is coming, we know it's coming, and we know he wants to accord with us, how does that tell us to prepare for him? I would think to get rid of all the junk.
To lose self and to read more of him.
Roland, when you were in school,
yeah,
you met Angie.
Yeah.
When you were in school.
Yeah. I dumped all my other girlfriends.
Right.
Like all 50 of them.
All 50.
So you cleared space to invest into her.
Yeah.
And look where he's got. I won't ask any more than that. but that's what we need to do as well. We got to realize we got to put the time in with him to get to that place. And with him, it's not going to take anywhere near as long as it would with us humans, because, well, we're humans and we're stupid half the time, you know.
Yeah, but when life is good, we procrastinate, we put it off.
Mm-hmm.
And Nathalie was reminding us today that when devastation occurs, or when things go wrong,
it's going to happen fast.
All of a sudden, people go, "Oh, well,
yeah! Look how fast COVID was." Yeah. You know,
put me in the ark. Please open the door.
Yeah. What's this thing? What's this water coming from the sky? Noah was right.
So we got to get with it, I think. I think now's the time to get with it.
Well, it's the doing aspect of Yahweh. He's, I mean, so many of us have been given that concept of heaven as playing a harp sitting on a cloud.
No.
That's such a far cry
Why
from reality.
Would he do that?
Well, it's stupid.
Yeah.
But it's like you're going to do nothing. You're just going to hang out and be cool, you know?
Yeah, that's going to be fun for 1,000 years.
No, we get a whole new
Yahweh
world.
Yahweh is a doer. He's a creator. He's doing, 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 always doing.
And we've
and
been
that's
doing.
Not going to stop.
No, so why would he? Because if experience tells us anything with his doing and with us doing, we've got to keep doing.
Yeah, because there's nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Boredom doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. It's rather boring.
Where the word comes from.
You think? Wow. Okay, you guys. This has been a great discussion today. Love the conversation with Nathalie. You guys be blessed.
You be safe.
Must flee from the living.